anyway, I'm going to try to give you a few thoughts here tonight. Maybe one, I told one fella one time, I was going to give him 3 points and a poem. But I might try to preach a while here if the Lord will help us. You want to stand with us again if you'd like to? I'm going to read in 1 Kings chapter 17. I'd like for you to stand up and sit down. That way you won't go to sleep. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now I want to begin reading in verse 8. This is a familiar passage. All preachers have preached on this, and I'll read it for a starting place tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that is Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Father, we thank you for your word. We're glad it's forever settled in heaven. Thank you for this gathering here tonight. Thank you for the access we have to the throne room of grace tonight. We pray that you'd be upon us. Give us that special touch, Lord. It takes to preach tonight. We confess our inability and weakness. We need help from you, and we pray that you would help us open our hearts and minds and understanding to the word and will of God tonight. Help us, give us judgment day honest, dear Lord, and give us what we need in the service tonight. We'd be eternally grateful to you. We pray in Jesus' blessed name with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. I want to try to preach a few minutes, the Lord will help us, on when your worst day turns out to be your best day. And I think, and we've got to realize that there's a terrible famine in the land here, and it hadn't rained in a while, and everything is drying up, and this woman was in a desperate condition. And it looked like it was her worst day to me. She thought that her and her son both was getting their last meal and they was going to die here pretty quick. And up come a preacher, a prophet, and told her what he wanted to do. And it was her worst day, don't forget. It hadn't rained. Probably people starving to death around over the country. God sent judgment on the land. And don't you think it took pretty much faith to be obedient to what Elijah said? I mean, she said, I just have this one little bit of meal in a barrel and a little bit of oil in the cruse. And what I was going to do is get these sticks and build a fire. And my son and me is going to eat this last meal. And we're going to die together. That's a pretty dark time. I never will forget a man from India, a preacher from India, stayed at my house one time a few days, and he'd got saved. I think it was 1937, I believe it was, he started preaching. He's gone on to heaven now, and he used to come over here and raise support for his ministry over there. And he said, everybody in America is rich. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you got food for today? You You got clothes to wear, house to live in, car to drive. Everybody in America is rich. He said, in India, little children stand at my door all day for one bite of bread. He said, they go away, come back, beg for more. Beg for one bite of bread. Nobody has hardly anything to give. One man asked him one time, said, why don't y'all take up offering in India? He said, nobody has anything to give in India. And so, according to his standard of living, everybody over here is rich. Of course, we complain if one of our three cars won't start. We think we're about to enter the Great Tribulation, you know. Oh, yeah, we know how to do that. One fellow and his wife went down and got he said, I'm going to get the food stamps. Said, you go over at the post office, get the welfare check, meet me back here, and we'll sit down, have a sit-down strike against this government. Yeah, so there's a lot of folks, you know. We've raised a bunch of folks, you know, and we've had it well. We've had it good. That's one thing's the matter with us here. We've got too much. But this woman's worst day, Elijah said, you just go and fix me a cake first. He said, hey, the meal barrel's not going to run out. The oil crew's not going to run out. All the days of the famine. You know what? That turned out to be the best day. Her worst day turned out to be the best day. And I'm happy about that, aren't you? Yes, sir. It looked mighty dark, but the Lord let the light shine in. Amen. The darkest hour is just before dawn. Somebody said or sang tonight, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's not going to always be like it is now. There's coming a change right down the road. And that'll be a real blessing, won't it? When the change comes, I'm looking for that. Mary and Martha had a dark day one time. Recorded in John chapter 11. Their brother got sick. They'd sent for Jesus. You know, Jesus just does what he wants to. A lot of folks think he's under obligation to stand at attention every time they speak. They said, hey, he whom thou lovest is sick. He didn't get in any hurry. After a while, they told him that he is dead. He said, he's sleeping. They said, if he's sleeping, he doeth well. And finally, they told him he's dead. He said, I'm glad for your sakes. And so they got on down there. And Martha said, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. He said, hey, he's going to raise again. She said, oh, I know he will at the last day at the resurrection. So she must have been a general resurrection believer. Of course, that is before the other got in the Bible, I guess. All the Jews believed in the resurrection, you know. Said, I know he will at the last day. He said, Martha, if a fellow is alive and believes in me, he shall never die. I am the resurrection and the life. She still didn't get it. They all gathered around out there at the cemetery, said, where have you laid him? They went out there wherever he was laying. They all got around together. The Jews is weeping with them. It is a sad day. It is a bad day. You know, a lot of people have bad days. The saying now is, have a good day. Have a good day. Well, I hope you have a good day, but you better believe there's coming a bad day sometimes. There's coming a dark time in your life and in my life. It looked real bad for them. Their brother died. Jesus had spent a lot of time there at their house. That was his favorite place to go, even for food and fellowship. And he wept with them. He groaned in spirit and wept with them. And it is Mary and Martha's worst day. But Jesus said, hey, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Take away the stone. They said, well, he'd been dead 4 days, but this time he stinketh. He said, sit down out of thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And they obeyed him, took the stone away. He cried with a loud voice, after weeping with them now, after weeping with them, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He can feel what we feel. Are you glad he can feel what we feel? I'm glad he knows where we are and knows our feeling. He knows our heartache and heartbreak. Oh, a lot of folks think, you know, it is kind of hard to understand the manhood of Jesus and the Godhood of Jesus. He is all man and all God. I couldn't explain that. I just know that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached of the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up to glory. He was the great I am. He did not take upon him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham was made like unto his brethren. And he took part of what they had. Of course, he didn't take the blood part. He took the flesh part. Amen. He didn't take the blood part. There was nothing wrong with his blood. heard the Campbellite preacher say not long ago. He said, when I was born, said I was as pure as Jesus Christ. I thought, man, you're sublime. You're coming in backwards. You don't know straight up about salvation. Someone said, well, I would have said that. When anybody thinks they is born without any sins, deceived. You know that, don't you? Was all born with our back toward God. That's right. We're sinners by nature, sinners by choice, sinners by practice. We're in trouble on the inside. That's right. The problem's inside, not outside. If you can get fixed inside, you can quit doing what you're doing outside. Amen. But I tell you, Jesus told them to take the stone away. It is a sad day, but it become their best day. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And death lost his hold. And Lazarus come out of the grave. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And so I tell you, the Savior, the Christ, got him out of the grave. Aren't you glad of that? Yes, yes sir. And the chains, brother, got him at the table. And the church ought to get you out of the grave clothes. Amen. Take the grave clothes off. Loose him now. You know, when you get saved, you're supposed to start laying aside things. Laying aside things. Lay aside every weight and these sins that does so easily beset us. So you can run with patience. That's kind of a peculiar statement. Run with patience. It's not how fast you run. It's how consistent you run. A lot of folks, you think they're going to set the woods afire. Man, they run in, and they just want what they want right quick, you know. And sometimes, if everything don't go to suit them, they run out about as fast as they run in. But their worst day became their best day. And, of course, that widow woman of Nain, recording Luke chapter 7, she's going to bury her only son. That is a sad day. You ever buried any of your loved ones? Oh, yes, it's bad to bury a loved one, especially someone that's young. And then we'll forget this. I've seen a few people, you know, and preached to them maybe the last time, witnessed to them. They wouldn't hear, they wouldn't listen. They turned and walked away. And then we'll forget one boy. He's in a little church. I was preaching. He's a big old boy, weighed about 300 and something. Weighs about 350 now. And I was on Thursday night and I preached to him. And he stepped out and I'll give an invitation. He looked at me and looked back at the door, looked at me and turned and went out the door. And the following night, fella come up dead and burnt up in the car. They charged him with it, tried him, kept him in jail in Morgan County, Tennessee a year, trying to get the death penalty. Finally, they give him 99 years. He's up here in the East Tennessee place at Mountain City. And they will forget, I go see him when I'm there. First time I went to see him, I hadn't seen him in about 25 years at that time. And I went to see him, and my wife's nephew's a warden there, and he got me in. And here come a big old boy, at that time weighed about 350, about 6'6". Come back and he come in smiling and said, I remember you. I said, oh, you remember me? He said, oh yeah, I remember you. I said, I remember you preaching to me at Annadale that night. I think he's really saved now. It might have been different. That is a sad day, wasn't it? Yeah. A sad day, and that day's not ended yet. Still a sad, even though he might get forgiven, he must pay for his crime. Society demands payment for the crime. Listen, I'm saying to you today, you may have a bad day now, but you can have a glad day with the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman had a sad, it is a bad day. It is her worst day, fixing to bury her only son. And the Lord showed up. When he shows up, it'll change your day. Amen. Amen. He touched the fire, praise God. And they all stopped. And he said to that boy, arise. And he sat up. And then he began to speak up. Amen. And the Lord delivered him up to his mother. Don't you know that is the best day of her life? Amen. Fixing to go bury her only son. And here he got resurrected before they got to the cemetery. That turned into the best day. Oh, you know what my best day was? Just happened when my worst day happened. That's right. I really got under old time Sinai conviction. Looked like I was going to go to hell in spite of all everybody could do. That's before they got to talking in 2 minutes. That's when they left it with you. Amen. They preached hell hot. I tell you, heaven sure, repentance a must. You need the new birth. You must be changed. They used to preach the fear of God on you, and leave it there. Amen. You know, they used to not even call for mourners for 3 or 4 nights. Because they knew if they wasn't ready to mourn, they wasn't in danger of getting saved anyway. And sinners never mourn over their sins till saints mourn over their sins. And so this man was delivered up to his mother. I think they had a shouting spell. The Bible don't say. But I think if I was marrying one of my children and the Lord resurrected him, I think I'd have a shouting spell, don't you? I think her worst day turned into her best day. I say, praise God. Amen. Oh, and you know what? Here's a woman with the issue of blood over there in Mark 5. She had 12 years and wasted all of her living on the position of this world and rather grew worse. But she heard the Lord's passing by. I think she'd give up. I think she'd give up. She'd run out of money. You're not going to deal with doctors much if you don't have any money. Ain't that right? I think money's the bottom line. I know they got to stay in business. But no use trying to get it all off of one fella. But anyway, this woman, she heard the Lord is coming through. That's the first move. You got to hear about him. That's why we preach to people. Preach to everybody you can. You say, well, I'm not called to preach. If you're saved, you are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir. A preacher is a proclaimer. You may not supposed to be a public preacher. You may not be a pastor or an evangelist. But if you're saved, you're supposed to testify the gospel of the grace of God to somebody. Now you can take that home with you. Don't forget it. You know, a lot of people think if they give the preacher a few $100 and buy him some gasoline, he's supposed to do everything. That don't relieve us of our responsibility. He's not supposed to go down the road hunting up people. You and me are supposed to go hunt them up. We're supposed to go and knock on the door. Hunt them up, stop them at Walmart. Let them talk about the ball game about 10 minutes. You butt in and talk about the Lord a while. Now, they might not listen to you. They may call you a radical. You know, most people just want you to barely get as much religion as they've got anyway. You know, a lot of people are afraid you'll get more religion than they've got and disturb their services. But we ought to hunt up sinners. You know what Christ came down here for? Looking for sinners. Did you know he didn't go over to the synagogue looking for sinners? He didn't go over to the temple. You know what? He went out there hunting an old adulterous woman down there to Jacob's well. He went looking for a crooked tax collector at Jericho. Amen. He's looking up sinners. You glad he come your way? That's my worst day. I thought I was going to go to hell when I got under old time conviction. I didn't know how to pray, didn't know what to say, didn't know what the Bible said, didn't know what the church believed. I just knew two things. I'm a terrible sinner and going to hell, and they say he's a savior. That's about all I knew. And that's all you have to know to get saved. You don't have to know any technicalities. You know you're lost, you know you're a sinner, plead guilty. He'll dismiss the charge. That's why you get your case dismissed in courthouse. Plead guilty. If you are guilty, quit arguing your case. That's what I did one time. I guess I told you. Last ticket I got, or next to the last one. Anyway, I could still get a few tickets. And I fixed it. I had to drive over 100 miles to get to the courthouse. And I sat there 2 or 3 hours waiting on the trial, all them drug charges and everything. This man had a robe on, black robe on, sitting on the bench. And the lawman, he come up there with a piece of paper in his hand and handed it up to the judge. Said, I charge Mr. Mitchell with doing 57 into 45 mile zone. They'd call me up and I'd come over here. And the judge looked at the charge and looked at me and said, what do you got to say for yourself? I said, Your Honor, I'm guilty and I'd appreciate mercy. And he looked back at that and handed it over to the enforcer of the law, looked around me and said, you're free to go. You know what happened to me when I got saved? The law. By the law of the knowledge of sin, the law of the schoolmaster brings us to Christ, the law brought me in. The law said to the sovereign judge, Mitchell's guilty. of sin, he's worthy of the death penalty. And if I get what I deserve, I'll go to hell because I offended God. God never spoke to me audibly, but I heard him just the same. He said, what do you have? Save yourself. I said, I'm guilty, Lord. Guilty. I'm a guilty sinner. I plead guilty and ask for mercy. That's all I knew to do. And God, for Christ's sake, because he had paid my sin debt, you know what he did? He forgave me of all of my sin. That he didn't stop there. He lifted me above the law. And he didn't stop there. He made me his child and completed me in Christ. Amen. And as far as God's concerned, I never did break the law. You say, well, how long have you been saved? I've been saved since 1957, the fourth Saturday night in June. You said, didn't you sin since then? I did sin against then, since then. And I would still go to hell if I didn't have a good advocate. But I've got an advocate. An advocate has to do with the court of law. He's my priest when I do right, and he's my advocate when I do wrong. He's my propitiation all the time. He's my priest when I do right, but if I happen to do wrong, I'm told not to sin. Then I'm told if I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father. An advocate, if you get a case in court, you're going to have somebody to represent you. A lawyer. And if you've got a pretty serious case, like I've had, you better get a pretty good lawyer. You get one of these jacklegs, you'll go up for some time. But if you get somebody that knows the law, you might get off. And if you get somebody that knows the law and the judge, you're just about sure to get off. And I've got an advocate that knows the law and knows the judge and satisfied the judge in my place, so the judge now can still be true to his attributes and forgive me as I sin as I save. So I have security because I've got a good advocate. Listen to me, everybody believes you can lose your salvation does not understand the advocate work of Jesus Christ. They think they've got to stay saved. Well, if it depended on you to stay saved, you're about as sorry as I am. Somebody said, I think help live right to get to heaven. I said, how right? Said, well, you know what I mean. I said, I don't know what you mean. I'm from the mountains. You've got to explain everything to me. So I mean, do the best you can. That's the best you can. You're not saved by doing the best you can. You're saved by what he did. Amen. Like a fellow said to me last week, said, do you believe God gives everybody a chance? I said, you're not saved by chance, you're saved by grace. Amen. Amen. Yay, praise God. So I've been saved all these years. So this woman here, she is destitute. She spent all of her living. She went on destitute, she is desperate. Nobody gets saved, they get desperate. You read that through the four gospel books. Everybody come to the Lord savingly. They was desperate. Like the man with leprosy. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In desperation, he said that. Everybody called on the Lord, called in desperation. They didn't just say words. We've lived to see a time now when sinners think if they say certain words that they're saved. You're not saved by anything you can say or do. Amen. I'm not going to get into that, but that is true. She wasn't only destitute and desperate, she was determined. She said, if I can touch his garment, and that's her worst day. She's run out of money. This disease is going to kill her. She don't have any other way to turn. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch him, I'd be made whole. Still her worst day. She is doubtless in her faith. Her faith was put in action. She started toward him. You won't never get to him if you don't start toward him. You'll never come to him if you don't start. I don't know how long it took the prodigal to get out of the hog pen and get back home, but I know he never would have got there if he hadn't started. And so she was doubtless in her faith. She said, if I can touch him, I'll be made whole. And you know what she did? She pressed through that crowd. And the great crowd around her, you know, can you imagine? Here this sick woman is, all bent over, pushing her way through, moving people out of the way. A lot of touching elbows around there. But when she touched him, just as soon as she touched him, the Lord said, who touched me? Not for his information. They said, well, you ask who touched me and see all this great crowd throng in there? He said, virtue went out of me. Somebody touched me by faith. You know what? Her worst day turned into her best day. She come falling down and trembling and told him all the truth. When you get saved, you can start telling all the truth. It's amazing how many so-called Christians won't tell the whole truth. One time there's this old fellow in the court, and the judge says, raise your right hand and be sworn. He raised his hand and said, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. He said, if I knew the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, you or me, either one would be here. That's about right. Amen. God help us. But we ought to tell the truth about what we do know. So this woman touched the Lord. He said, daughter. First word he said to her is, daughter, thy faith hath made thee W-H-O-L-E. That means you don't have to come back tomorrow for another dip. That means you got cured right on the spot. Praise God. Her worst day turned into her best day. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm having a bad time. It's a bad time in my life and my family. You know what? If you can touch him, it'll turn into the best time. The Lord will use everything for his glory. Yeah. For we know, Romans 8:28, we know. They don't know, but we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's right. Nothing catches God off guard. Nothing slipping up on the backside of God. Nothing takes hold of you until he knows about it. And he's bringing us, what he's doing is perfecting us. He's perfecting us right now. We haven't reached perfection yet. You know, a lot of people say, well, do I have to be perfect to get to heaven? Well, yes, you do. There are storms of correction and there are storms of perfection. Jonah got in a storm of correction, going against the will of God. But Jesus sent them apostles, said, you get in the boat and go to the other side. Is it John 6? He sent them right into a storm. They didn't know it was there, but he knew it was there. Why would Jesus send his preachers into a storm? He said, you get in the boat and go to the other side. You know what? They went out there for a little while. They thought they wasn't going to make it to the other side. I bet there's been times in your life when you thought you wasn't going to make it to the other side. They couldn't see him, but he could see them. He's up on a mountain. He's up on a mountain. They's down here rowing against contrary winds. It's a bad time. Now, I never have been in a typhoon or anything like that in a ship, but I've talked to some people who have been out in bad storms. And in this case, it was terrible. It wasn't letting up any. You say, what have they done wrong? Nothing. He's perfecting their faith. It wasn't a storm of correction, it was a storm of perfection. He sent them into it. He didn't send Jonah into his. He sent the storm because of Jonah's disobedience. Now sometimes you get a storm of correction. You say, well, God don't bother me. Well, you're probably not his if he don't ever bother you. One good way you know you're his is he won't let you alone. Amen. If he don't bother you, I wouldn't give a nickel for your religion. Amen. So Jesus come walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night, and they thought he was a spirit. They said it was a spirit. Yeah. Now see, their heart was full of fear and it wasn't full of faith. Right. So they thought it was a spirit. And the first thing he said is, be of good cheer. 9 hours in a storm, thinking they're going to go down any time, moon not shining, look like this old boat's going down. And the first thing he says is, be of good cheer. That didn't make a bit of sense, did it? It is I, be not afraid. Peter said, Lord, if that's you. Now, I don't know, it seemed like he had a little bit of something there. If that's you, bid me to come. At least he had enough faith to get out and start. Amen. That's more faith than a lot of us have got. But he got out and started and done pretty well till he looked at the circumstance. When you look at the circumstances and don't look at the Christ, you're fixing to get in trouble. A lot of people said, well, boy, it's looking bad, ain't it? I said, of course, which way are you looking? If you're looking around, it's looking bad. And if you're looking back, it's looking worse. But if you're looking up, it's looking good. The Lord told you when you see all these things begin to come past, lift up your eyes and look up. He didn't say look around and start talking about how bad it is. You're supposed to see it's bad, and you're supposed to see it the last days. You're not supposed to ignore all these things, but you're not. Don't give too much attention to that. If you listen to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly too much, you'll be defeated. Now that's right. Now I appreciate all the conservative talk show hosts. Don't misunderstand me. Somebody looked like that and made you mad. They're not near as conservative as you think they are. They're making money. You don't hear any of them say anything against sodomy and same-sex marriage, do you? Oh, no, I'm not going to preach on that, but I could. You know, Russ gave that fellow about $1 million that sodomite sang at his wedding, whichever one it was. Hey, man, I just thought I'd put that in. Some of you look like you didn't know that. So you better watch these people pretending to be things that they're not. They're hoodwinking the people for money. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's what the book says. This Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15:21, I guess the first Gentile Jesus dealt with. And the disciples, they said, she's troubling us. Send her away. You know, the Lord, he said, I'm just sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was true at that time. You know, we were never lost sheep. You know, this is where the extreme Calvinist goes astray. They get everybody in John 6 as lost sheep. Now, lost sheep was in the covenant. They was covenant people. Like the prodigal. We call it the parable of the prodigal. He was a son when he was at home. Son in the far country. Son when he got back home. But he wasn't a converted son. He was a covenant son. The blood hadn't been shed then. Somebody said, was he a Christian? There wasn't no Christians then. Not as we know Christianity today, like regenerated and be born again, washed in the blood, because that hadn't happened yet. You're looking funny. That's a parable. The Lord never spoke to the church in parables. He spoke to the Jews in parables. It's a parable of a fella. The other fella never got lost. He's a Pharisee, his brother. He's the one who stayed around. Jesus said, I'm just sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was true at that time. He says, not meet to take the children's bread, covenant children, and cast it to dogs, Gentiles. She said, truth, Lord, I'm taking my place down here as a dog. First thing she done is addressed him as the son of David. His position. She said that the dog's eating the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He said, you can just have whatever you come after. She had a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. She never got the wrong crowd at school. She was full of the devil. And she confessed she was full of the devil. Grievously vexed with the devil, and she got her worst day. Now, you think about having a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. Nobody could handle her. And here the Lord acts like he don't care. At first, he acted like he didn't care. She wouldn't leave. You know who gets what they come after from God? Them that won't leave. You know why Elisha got a double portion of what Elijah had? He wouldn't quit. Elijah tried to get him to stay three places. Said, you stay here, I'm going over yonder. Said, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee. I'm going to go wherever you go. Amen. Said, I'm going down yonder to Jordan. He said, I'm going too. He said, what do you want from me? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, you've asked a hard thing. He didn't say, man, it's easy. Come on, it's easy. He didn't say that. But everybody, I've heard so much of this easy stuff, I can't hardly take it. You know, somebody said, well, it's not hard to get saved. I said, no, it's just hard to repent. It's not hard for God to save. God's got abundance of grace, but God can't save you, and you're a rebel. You got to come on the gospel terms. I believe that's right. And so Elisha said, I'm not going to leave you. He said, I'm going across Jordan. Death on each side. When he smote that water, it stood up. I mean, you walk down in there, it might close up on you any time. So you got to get out of this world over across Jordan to get what Elijah, double portion of what he had. So he got over there across Jordan. The Lord caught Elijah away. And Elisha, he dropped his mantle. Elisha went over and got that mantle, come back, and smote that water, and said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters parted. And he come back, and the sons of the prophet said, hey, that fellow looks like Elijah coming out there. He got a double portion because he wouldn't quit. He wouldn't leave. This woman here, her worst day turned into her best day because she wouldn't quit. She wouldn't stop. She wouldn't leave. If you get with God and not leave, you get what you come after. I believe that's right. Well, one more and I'm through. Up on the cross, Christ is dying in the midst. Thief on one side, thief on the other side. And this one thief, he's talking ugly to the Lord. Said, if you're the Christ, why don't you get us down? If you're the king, who you say you are. And the other thief rebuked that thief. He said, dost thou not fear God? Dost thou not fear God? Now I said in another service, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Nobody repents and believes that don't fear God. When they come to John the Baptist to be baptized, he said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He did not say, has anybody told you God loves you? He said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? See, the wrath to come filled your heart with fear of God. And we're children of wrath. So when you find out you're a child of wrath, it'll cause you to fear God. So this one thief come to fear God on the cross. Dost thou not fear God, seeing we're in the same condemnation? And we justly, we're paying for what we've done. We deserve what we're getting, but this man's done nothing amiss. It's his bad day. Looks like he's going to drop off in hell. He's paying for his, starting to pay for his sin. But looked at the Lord and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. His worst day turned into his best day. I think he went to paradise that day. That's where saints went to at that time. Paradise. Because Christ hadn't entered into heaven with his blood, and so their spirits were not perfected. Over here now, Hebrews 12, talking to the saints now, we've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. In other words, Old Testament saints were justified men, but their spirits wasn't perfected because the blood of Christ hadn't been shed, because animals' blood could never make the comers there into perfect or take away sin. See, God can't let you in heaven if you're not perfect. So your spirit has to be perfected to go in heaven. So the blood of Christ perfected Old Testament saints' spirits as well as our spirits. We've come to them. Now they're just one family. Family goes all the way from Adam to the last man. Just one family after one name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of it's in heaven, part of it's on earth. That's your best day when you find that out. And when you get saved, that'll become your best day. You're desperate. There may be some of you here tonight. In trouble, you might be saved, but it's looking dark, things happening, you don't understand. A lot of things we don't understand much anyway. The preacher preached you this the other day, just trust God for it. Don't worry about it. You're not supposed to worry about what tomorrow holds. You might not be here tomorrow. Turn everything over to the Lord. Whatever your problem is, turn everything over to him, and it can be your best time. He'll lift all your burdens away. Nothing happens, really. It's accidental with us. but not accidental with God. There's no accidents with God. I don't think, do you? I don't think there's any accidents with God. You know, sometimes there is things worse than death. Hadn't you rather die as to lose all your faculties and lay in a nursing home for years? There's a lot of things worse than death if you're ready to die. Some of you are probably not ready to die. You ought to get ready. The Lord's fixed it. He's fixed it where you can get ready to die. And he's put it down here where folks like you and me can understand it. It's not way up on a greased pole. It's down on the bottom shelf. And you can reach it. You can reach Christ tonight if he gives you faith. Your faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you can reach him tonight, and you ought to come to him. And if you're saved, you've got problems. Marital problems, moral problems, money problems. A lot of people's got a lot of different problems. May God help us to cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for us. He cares for us all the time. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Our brother's going to come with a verse of a song. I don't know your heart tonight. Only God knows any of our hearts. I trust we'll be honest with him tonight. Father, we pray that you'd seal up the word of God in our hearts tonight. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for every blessing in this meeting this week. What a blessing it's been to us. We pray that you continue to bless through the services. And may your will be done. Saints get help and sinners be converted to thee. We pray in Jesus' blessed name with thanksgiving. Amen.